There may come a day when I can't run anymore, but I can still do it right now. So I do it. I run just about everywhere
But ultimately, too, I need to stay in shape because I want to beat my son for a few more years. He's slowly catching up.
Welcome to the Spartan Becca series on Spartan Up with Jared Cogswell, Director of Sport, and Yancey Culp, Director of Programming.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we have Joe Gray on the show. And if you've ever paid a lick of attention to mountain running and trail running, he is the Michael Jordan. He is the Tom Brady. He is the Wayne Gretzky. He is the Babe Ruth of mountain running and trail running, ladies and gentlemen. We'll talk about helping people find that spark to start running. Or maybe just it's going to be exercising for you. Listen, one day we might not be able to run. Joe and I do a deep dive in that. I told him how, man, my kids and I run through the grocery store, and just when you get out there on the trail or the road and you're running, just the magic and the beautiful, that beautiful drug that we call exercise. In this case, though, it's all about the run.
This episode of Spartan Up is brought to you by Athletic Brewing Company. Their innovative process allows them to brew great-tasting craft beer without the alcohol. New customers can get 10% off their entire order with the code SPARTAN10. Limit one per customer.
What's up, Spartans? Welcome to this DECA series on the Spartan Up podcast. I'm your co-host, Yancey Culp, and we will be without my co-host, Jared Cogswell, today. He is spending the day with his lovely wife, Adina, two wonderful people in the fitness community accomplishing great things. But listen, our guest today is Joseph, aka Joe Gray. And as an old runner, 50-year-old runner, as a running coach, as a person that just absolutely loves all things running, it's brought so much to my life and my career. I am crazy pumped to have Joe on today. Joe, thank you so much for joining us today, my friend.
Hey, man, I appreciate you for having me on today.
I am, as I told you in the preview, it's not typical to give a 2 to 3 minute intro on a person and run down through the resume, but I feel that it is necessary here. I'm probably only gonna touch 10 to 20% of what Joe has accomplished out on the mountains, on the trails, and believe it or not, a lot of you that know Joe as a mountain and trail runner, amazing accomplishments on the track and the road as well. 2019 World Mountain Running Champion, two-time World Mountain Running Champion, 11-time USA Mountain Runner of the Year from 2008 to 2021, six-time Xterra World Trail Running Champion from 2012 to 2021, first athlete to win Xterra World Trail Running Championship six times, 33-time USA national team member from 2003 to present, 13 years consecutive representing USA mountain running team as a World Mountain Running Championships. That's a record. 2020 Colorado Running Hall of Fame inductee, 2021 Colorado State Mountain Ultra Trail Athlete of the Year, 2019 Spartan Trail National Champion for all you Spartans out there, 2018 Pan American Cross Country Champion, led Team USA to gold at the 2016 World Mountain Running Championships, seven-time consecutive GoPro Mountain Games 10K Champion, 2018 USA Sub-Ultra Trail Runner of the Year, 2016 World Mountain Running Champion, 2017 World Snowshoe Running Champion, led Team USA to gold at the World Snowshoe Running Championships, first Black American to win the USA Snowshoe National Championship 2020, eight-time USA Mountain Running National Champion from 2009 to 2019, first Black American to win USA National Mountain Running Championship and make the USA National Mountain Running Team, and the World Mountain Running Association voted Joe Gray the greatest of all time. And like I said, listeners and viewers, I'm only touching probably 10, 20%. It's a resume that just, it wouldn't fit the podcast world to read down through everything. But Joe, as a follower of lots of great runners, I have truly enjoyed following your career, my friend.
Hey, man. That was a great intro. I think I should just copy and paste that for my webpages and such. But No, I appreciate that, man. I've always appreciated the support as well.
What was the spark or the person as a young lad that got you into running, my friend?
You know, I don't even think it's the running, but as you probably understand, when you are exceeding at anything, there's kind of a common denominator for people who are successful in pretty much anything in life. And I think my father is kind of the person, he was the bread and butter for me in terms of learning work ethic, learning how to stay motivated, and learning that things don't come easy and you got to work for them. He taught me a lot of these things at a young age, and it led to success just in general, whether it be academically, whether it meant in sports. And so running just happened to be a sport that I fell into, and I had those core components already instilled. So, you know, I'm very thankful for that. My dad was very good at about teaching me the way to be, like I said, dedicated, motivated, and doing it the right way, you know, not taking any shortcuts and just making sure you're putting in the work.
I love that, man. I always tell a story. My dad, same with me, my dad growing up, we had this 20-acre pasture that we lived on, 20-acre farm. And when I was a little bitty guy, we'd run laps around it. And early on, I would cut the corners so I could stay up with him. And then there was a couple years where we ran together. And it was funny, you know, later on in high school, he was cutting the corners to keep up with me. So we got a lot of years to run together. So, and we talk about, so we're talking about tough courses here and the beauty that they provide us, at least for some of us crazies. But for the listeners and viewers, let's pretend there's a lot of them that have never been out on that amazing single track where you just kind of lose yourself and you're flowing through the mountains, or it doesn't even have to be mountains, but just that beautiful single track. Paint that picture. You know, for me, I think I grew up throughout high school and college and even past college where it felt probably 90% of my miles were on the road. And I remember it was actually kind of late in life, mid-20s, when I got out on my first amazing single track. It was in California. And I, you know, I was fit enough to where I was flowing with some pretty good speed and just losing myself in the most amazing way on those single tracks. Talk to the listeners and viewers about the magic of just true trail and mountain running, my friend.
You know, I hate to separate them. I think, you know, my early career, I did a lot of urban running, right? When I was getting into the sport, it was at a time where I lived in, you know, mostly an urban environment. And the summer leading into, like, when I really caught the bug for running, I'm visiting my grandma, and, you know, she lives in Baltimore, and, you know, she lived in a pretty rough spot of Baltimore. And believe it or not, there are random single track trails in places like this, like even in extremely urban environments. And one thing that I can say, whether it was there or whether I was in the mountains, or whether I was at 14,000 feet on this beautiful single track or way up in the Alps in Switzerland, the one thing I always find is that when you are just really in the moment, you really lose yourself and you don't even know how far you've been running. You're just on this high. And I think that's what separates it from being like on a track or say on a road per se, is that you get so caught up in what's around you and your surroundings, and you get to a point where you're not even focused on the terrain or anything. You're just kind of just absorbing everything around you and really kind of in that moment, and you're not thinking about anything in the future, in the past. You're just like really present. And I don't know, there's something beautiful about that when you're out. And that can happen anywhere, right? I guess it can happen on the road too, in the track. It's happened to me before, but definitely it's different when, you know, you're in the mountains and you're out there alone, and, you know, all you can hear is nature and such. So
I nowhere near at your level, but I have a love for running that's just amazing. And do you ever find yourself when you're out on a run saying, okay, this could come to an end at some point? And true story, my son and I, we're known as the, oh, that's the culp kids. You know, we're in the grocery store because I'm 50 and I can, because I can still run, I run everywhere I go, and we'll be jogging through the grocery store and they laugh like, oh, that's Yancey and his kids. my motto there is, there may come a day when I can't run anymore, but I can still do it right now. So I do it. I run just about everywhere I go. Do you ever, do you see life after competitive running, and what's your plan when Joe Gray, the competitive runner, is done? Where do you see running fitting into your life after that?
You know, running is definitely something I'll always do. Probably after running, I'll probably get more back into the boxing and the and basketball a little bit more. And in which case, you do need to be able to run. You need to be in shape, because both of those sports, if you can't run, they're not going to be so fun. But ultimately, too, I need to stay in shape because I want to beat my son for a few more years. He's slowly catching up. You know, we raced the other day.
How old's your boy?
He's 3 now.
Okay.
You know, and I think I'll be able to beat my daughter. She's 2, but she's not fast like my son was at 2. So I think I'm safe for a little while, but she'll probably give me some problems by the time she's 10 as well.
I'd love it. My daughter's 15 and she's a freshman track, and we're getting at that age where it's like, ooh, we have some battles every now and then if we're doing, like, she's a 400 meter runner. So we've had our battles, but I think that's, when that day comes for you, and I don't know, Joe Gray's kids may never be faster than Joe Gray.
Hey, I'm not silly, man. You know, my dad, he didn't learn his lesson. He let his ego get in the way, and he thought he could keep beating me and until I was just slaughtering him. And so I think when my kids start getting close, you know, I'm going to call it a day, and I'm just going to be support then at that point. You need me to help you train, but I ain't racing you no more.
I love it. Were there any... Let's do a deeper dive into training. Was there training philosophies, specific coaching methods, or a specific coach when you were younger that you started gravitating towards?
You know, my first coach, actually, he instilled a lot of important components to my career today. You know, Mark Brinkhaus showed me a lot about, you know, long, slow distance, right? So for example, some people might hammer their long runs all the time, every week and, you know, midweek. And, you know, his idea was that you can use long runs as a recovery, and it's just long, you know, you're enjoying it. You're getting the time on feet. It doesn't have to be a workout per se every time that you step into a long endurance type workout. And it's really important, you know, at this point in my career, because recovery is very important. You know, getting the time and putting in the volume is really important. And it doesn't have to be where you kill yourself and blow yourself up to where you're extremely fatigued and your hormone output is just all over the map because you're just overtrained. And so, you know, learning not to overtrain and being consistent about that is very important, because the races are tough in itself. So if you're coming in overtrained in some of these big races where you have a lot of really fast guys that are maybe better than you, and the only way you're going to beat them is by outgritting them on that day, then you need to be pretty fresh and you need to make sure that you're not overtrained. And especially now with my schedule, when I was 28, for example, I had more races that were kind of like sea level races, you know, races that were not very important. Whereas now, you know, you have sponsors, you're running primarily professional. So every time you step out there, it's usually a fairly important race. And so you don't really have time to overtrain and come into those races where you're going to shit the bed, in essence.
Shit the bed. Haven't heard that one in a while.
We'll be right back to the interview. But first, a little bit from Athletic Brewing Company, today's sponsor. You don't have to choose between an ice cold beer after a race and your health. Thanks to Athletic Brewing Company. Athletic Brewing Company's innovative process allows them to brew great-tasting craft beers without the alcohol, from IPAs to stouts to golden ales and more. They offer a full selection of beers, starting at only 50 calories, so you can keep your head clear and enjoy the refreshing taste of beer anytime and anywhere. And they're part of a program called Two for the Trails. For every product purchased, Athletic Brewing Company donates 2% of sales to protecting and restoring local trails. They're pioneering a craft brew revolution. You don't have to sacrifice being your best to enjoy a great brew. In fact, check out their website to see a list of awards that their beers have won. Check your local store, but if you can't find it, they'll ship it. Place an order at athleticbrewing.com, and you can get free shipping on 2 6-packs or more. And new customers can save 10% off the entire order with the code Spartan10. Limit one per customer.
I think it's so common where people are like, oh man, those track and cross country kids, that just looks painful. And every time we've, you know, however you get some kid pulled in and they feel that magical chemical release that happens when you get in a couple good runs, and it's just like, oh my gosh, it's like 9 out of 10 times, like you kind of set the hook and it's getting them there. I've heard you speak out in the past about, you know, how it was on a podcast or something, like how I would market if I was in charge of marketing. These are some things that I would do just to get more people interested, because I don't want to say that it's an inexpensive sport, you know, everybody, but as far as sports in general are concerned, and the return, it's a lifetime sport. It has provided so much for me. If it's nothing more than the 3-mile run that I went on yesterday when my brain was a little foggy, I didn't have clarity and I had some stress, I walked into the house and I was antsy again. Everything in my life was good again. I know you've experienced that 15,000 times, just the magic that running brings us. So it's the most amazing form of exercise, because really and truly for most people, it's available for you right now with low barrier of entry.
Yeah. I think honestly, the problem, I think when you try to introduce this to kids who are 14, 15, 16 in that age group, they are already becoming who they're going to be. You have to introduce hard work, physical activity at a younger age to show them that putting in work gives you results. It, you know, doing this gives you that, you know, and showing them there are opportunities. Whether it just be that you're fit and you feel better and you have better mental health, better physical health. You have to show kids at a younger age these principles. Otherwise, it's kind of lost, right? It's a moot point. If they don't know how to be competitive, they don't know how to be uncomfortable to get their goals. So by the time they've gone a few years of not having to do these things, then you're trying to reintroduce it to them, they're not interested. So it's more so showing kids that, hey, being uncomfortable can lead to benefits and opportunities, and showing them that hard work, it doesn't always feel good no matter what you're doing. Bill Gates didn't become a billionaire and it was just easy and fun all the time. You have to work hard if you want to be successful. There's things you're going to want in life and you're going to have to work for them. And I think exercise and fitness and running teach you those principles a very easy, cheap, affordable way. And you know, in my opinion,
love it. When you were, let's stretch it for a bit, teenage years, all through your early to mid 20s, when you were kind of really setting the tone, the Joe Foundation, who were your favorite runners to follow on the track, on the trail, just all levels? Give me several names that your favorite, that maybe they motivated you and you just enjoyed following them.
I think initially, like when I was getting into the sport, Jesse Owens, obviously I just liked his demeanor. I liked how he carried himself, even in despite of how what he was dealing with in terms of racism in that period of time, and he still was able to succeed. And then I kind of from there, I really started to like Michael Johnson, especially, you know, when he had the gold shoes, he really caught my attention, and I've always been like a shoe freak. So, you know, seeing him with those, I was like, oh man, I want some gold shoes like him. And, you know, when I started getting into mountain running, I was really big on Jonathan Wyatt. He was somebody that I really looked up to. Simon Gutierrez was another guy I looked up to. He's out there in New Mexico. He was from New Mexico at the time. And Jon Tvedt, he was a guy in Norway that I had the opportunity to meet and hang out with a little bit when I was in Norway. And may he rest in peace. But yeah, man, I had some great opportunities early in my career. I was able to, like I said, spend a lot of time with Tvedt and pick his brain about things and just learn his mindset. I hung out with Jonathan Wyatt a lot earlier in my career. We were able to go to Europe and race together a few different times. And the same, you know, Simon was very encouraging in my first kind of season in mountain running. He was really encouraging. He was the best guy around that time. And he was always encouraging and very welcoming, just friendly with me, and would give me information. You know, I had a lot of questions because, you know, it was so different just to do it at a professional level. You already have questions about post-collegiate running in general, but now you're talking about going to Europe, you know, fresh out of grad school, broke, you know, you don't have any money, and you're telling me about Europe, and it's like, yeah, I'm intrigued, I want to go, but trying to figure out how to do that. And, you know, having guys like him and Wyatt kind of show me the ropes early in life was very beneficial.
For every coach out there, every coach, give them Joe Gray's number one tip. You're working with kids, you're working with the youth, or maybe you're working with adults. Give them that heavy hitter that maybe you see it getting missed sometimes. Like coach the coaches right now.
I think one of the biggest things that I've found that have worked for me in terms of coaches that I get the best response out of is, it's not feasible, right? We live in a different age. In today's world, people are making a lot of money from coaching by copy and pasting workouts, just kind of sharing blueprints and then coaching multiple people online that they will never see in person. I'm not a huge fan of that, but I do understand it, right? Like, we live in a different world. This is a big part of it. Being able to use social media and email and not using the snail mail system anymore. And, but for me, I think if you're a coach, even if it is virtual, keep relationship on your mind, right? It's really important that you have a relationship with your athletes, and you let them know, like, when you ask someone, like, how are you, right? Or how you doing? It's not a short answer. It's not, oh yeah, I'm good, coach. Like, no, like, how are you? What's up? What's going on in your life? Because a lot of, things that will kind of negatively impact your workouts and your races are stressors outside of running. And sometimes coaches are, maybe they don't have time, or maybe they're not concerned, or it's not an issue for them, but of importance to them. But it's important to find out how your athletes are doing outside of just running and having a relationship with them. And I think when you or I as an athlete understand that the person coaching me cares about me more so than just being an athlete, I think it bodes well long term. And that's what life is all about for me, is I think, you know, you're building relationships, you're building a foundation. And when you have those things, when you look at some of the best coach athlete relationships, a lot of times those athletes are really stellar. And there's, you know, the couple guys that obviously I could name, but, you know, they're really close with their coaches and they do well because their coach cares about them. They're really in tune to what's going on in their life. So I think that's, if I was speaking to any coach, I would say, keep that in mind. Even if you don't have the time to do it, try to make the time. And if it's really not something you're concerned about, then maybe you're not in the right place. You know, maybe you should take your energy and put it elsewhere, because if you're coaching, especially youth, it's important that you have that in mind and you care about these kids outside of just being athletes, but also being and turning into adults.
Freaking mic drop. We finished with a damn good mic drop right there. I love that. Oh, yes. Man. Thank you. Thank you for that. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, that wraps up episode one. Make sure you come back next week for episode two, because we're going to talk about what it takes to build and maintain Joe Gray status. Let's go.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Spartan Up. Do you want to be ready for anything? Download Joe's free ebook at spartan.com/readyforanything. Do you know someone who needs a little help staying motivated, staying informed, getting or staying mentally and physically resilient? We're here 3 days every week with a mix of content to help you stay strong. From mindset to nutrition and everything in between. Listen every Tuesday to hear Joe DeSena, Spartan Race founder and CEO. And the rest of the week, join us for DECA, Endurance, and Classic episodes. See you next time. This episode of Spartan Up is brought to you by Athletic Brewing Company. Their innovative process allows them to brew great tasting craft beer without the alcohol. New customers can get 10% off their entire order with the code SPARTAN10. Limit one per customer.